Good morning. And welcome everyone to the Lord's house this morning. As always, we encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on to your neighbors. And elders, deacons, and committee chairpersons, please be reminded of the January board meeting to be held immediately after this service, right around noon, up in the upper room. It should be a very short meeting. We should have plenty of time to get home to watch the kickoff of the Chiefs game, which I think is until 5:30 anyway, so we should be good. It will not last till 5:30, right, Dennis? Okay. The Christian Beliefs Program will be held for the next for 5 Thursday mornings from 11 o'clock to noon, beginning on Thursday, February 3rd through March 3rd. If you have an interest in attending, please contact Pastor Dennis. The January Men's Fellowship meeting will still be on Thursday evening, the 27th of January, but the time will be set back just a little bit to 7 p.m. Our guest speaker that week will be Kansas City Police Officer Skip Cox, who will be talking about the Police Athletic League that helps youth develop positive self-esteem by being a part of their community and interacting with the police officers who serve their neighborhoods. In light of the number of coronavirus cases in the area, we will not be sharing a meal at this month's meeting. And it's also been decided that our church's monthly fellowship lunches will also be postponed until the number of coronavirus cases starts to decrease in the area. Please also make note of the announcements in your bulletin concerning choir rehearsals and items for the church's food pantry that serves people in need throughout the Clay and Platte County areas here in the Northland. And your 2021 giving statements are ready to be picked up. They're on the table back in the foyer, and picking yours up will save a little bit of postage costs. For your financial support of our church's ministries and outreach, we are always grateful. And now may we begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everyone. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. We will praise you, Lord, with all our hearts.
We will tell of all the wonderful things you have done.
We will sing with joy because of you.
We will sing praise to you, Almighty God.
Praise the Lord. We'll now sing number 17, O Worship the King, stanzas 1, 3, and 5.
Thank Cody for being our acolyte this morning. I believe this was her maiden voyage. So thank you very much, Cody. Maybe bow in a word of prayer. Oh God, we are indeed privileged to worship together here in your house on this Lord's Day. As we journey through the winter months, we once again give you thanks for our basic necessities, We have warm homes, a warm sanctuary this morning, food on our tables, and the means to provide assistance for those who struggle with these things. Lord God, we thank you for our abundance and for the privilege to help those in need. We pray now, as we begin our service of worship, for the living and moving presence of the Holy Spirit, who ushers in the life-giving presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now.
Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. All right, folks, please be seated. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as Ryan leads us in the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus, I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning, girls. And that one out there, too. I see you. This morning, we're going to talk a little bit about the word blessed. Sometimes when we read it in the Bible, it also says blessed. Blessed are, or blessed is. It means the same thing. It's just a different way of pronouncing it. So, what does it mean to be blessed? Well, it can mean a lot of things. There's all kinds of different definitions if we look it up. But the one that I like the best is it says it's giving joy. It's to make happy or to make joyful. I like that one, especially when we talk about it at the same time we talk about God. Because we read and we learn that God blesses us with his love. He blesses us, has blessed us with Jesus for our salvation, and he blesses us with the Holy Spirit. I like that to mean he makes us happy. He makes us happy with his love. He makes us happy with the Holy Spirit. I like that. There's also places in the Bible where it says, blessed be to God. Well, we can kind of give a little of that joy back to God. Do you know how we do that? Do you know what makes God joyful? When we give back to Him. When we praise Him and we pray to Him and we open ourselves up, and that makes God happy. We get to bless God with a little happiness by just praising Him, worshiping Him. Not hard at all. Don't have to share our toys or nothing. Telling you. So, let's give a little joy to God and have a little bit of a prayer, okay? Gracious and glorious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for our warmer weather. Thank you for these children that we are very blessed to have with us. Help us each and every day to praise you and to receive all of the love and the blessings that you have for us with joy and with worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer this morning, we want to lift up Kathy Connell's great-granddaughter, Carson. She had to go to the Children's Mercy Hospital this weekend and had surgery for appendicitis and is now over that and now was able to go home this morning. So we're certainly glad that all that's worked out well for her. We also lift up Helen and Lauren Kirby. Helen was able to return home. We're grateful for that. So also was Kirby earlier this past week. We do continue to keep Helen in prayer, as she will be seeing that oncologist tomorrow with regard to that bone marrow cancer she's dealing with. We also lift up Tim and Kelly Jackson. We also remember Rihanna Ralston as she continues her testing and is anticipating this possibility of a heart valve surgery. Regarding the coronavirus, Perla Mora and John Ralston both came down with it this past week and have been home quarantined, obviously. Talking with Perla yesterday, she's progressing along, and she's also wanting us to remember a friend, Patty Nelson, as well as her nephew, Mark Markley, in our prayers. We also keep Jerry and Betty Donahue in our prayers. As Jerry continues that dialysis treatment, it's still been kind of an up and down kind of situation for him. That's why we're not seeing them in worship this morning. Larry Pettis is in our prayers as he's dealing with the lung cancer. We lift up Debbie Bezinski, John and Jean Cantola, Jill Gregory, the Kimberlings, and certainly a number of other people we've been mindful of. And also at the early service today, Arlita White was able to be in worship with us. We lift up her family as her nephew, Derek Anderson, passed away this past week rather suddenly. And Phil, her husband, ended up being in the hospital briefly this past week, but is also now home. With all of these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads in prayer this morning. Holy and gracious God, we are grateful for the privilege to once again assemble in your house of worship, especially as many among us have been absent due to illness and because of the recent weather conditions. As the new year unfolds, we realize that uncertainty exists on many fronts. On the world stage, we wonder what may be the consequence of the buildup of forces on the border between Russia and the Ukraine. Across the country, we are mindful that more than 850,000 fellow citizens have perished from the coronavirus, and that our medical personnel are exhausted and in such great need of assistance, while others among us are still in need of housing as a consequence of fires, floods, and tornadoes of this past year. We pray, O God, for your great comfort to abide with those who have lost dear loved ones and friends, and for those in need of your strength and renewal. And on this Sunday, in which we contemplate the first of the Beatitudes, blessed is the poor in spirit, we're mindful that it is in absolute humility that we find the depth and breadth of your loving presence. We are humbled by the fact that your Son and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave up the glories of heaven to live among us so that we could be blessed with the gift of salvation. For as Mark chapter 10 reminds us, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. As we contemplate your great love for us, may each of us realize that we shall truly be victorious over all concerns of this earthly realm. For as Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8, verse 39, there is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours, through Christ our Lord. This we pray in thanksgiving, as we also offer the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, choir, and Ryan and Lenora, thank you. It's a joy to have our choir again. As we possess no genuine comprehension of God's heavenly realm, we are unable to grasp the profound significance of Christ's willingness to leave the glory of God's heaven to humbly dwell among us in the mire of our worldly existence. Yet as we gather around the Lord's table and partake of the bread and cup that symbolized Christ's sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sin. Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 2 that Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equally with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. May we be forever humbled by the great love Christ expresses to us through his most charitable act as we partake in the Lord's table and as we prepare our hearts by singing our communion hymn. It's number 581. We'll sing all stanzas of Near the Heart, Near to the Heart of God. As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as we are led in prayer this morning by Doug.
Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we gather at your table this morning with thankful hearts, thankful for the church, thank you for all the blessings that you give us each day. As we take the communion, let us be reminded of Christ's birth, death, and resurrection for us, to forgive us from our sins, and for the promise of being in heaven with him someday. And this we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. Jesus says of himself in Mark's Gospel, the 10th chapter, that even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The stories of Jesus' profound servanthood in the Gospels humble us, as we know that he toiled tirelessly day in and day out, preaching and teaching, healing the sick, and caring for those in need. We may wish that we could do the same, yet as we age, we realize that there are many things we may wish to do but are unable, as our aging bodies betray our willing mind and spirit. Yet, as we are able, we still give those portions of our resources that we can for the benefit of others, as we also offer thanks for the privilege of being a part of God's kingdom here on earth. Barbara leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we start this new year, help us to remember how blessed we are. We will want to be your stewards and do what we can to continue your work here on earth. As we receive these tithes and offerings today, bless these gifts and the givers in Jesus' name. Amen.
God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. I share with you this morning scripture text from the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, the first 3 verses. And seeing the multitudes, he, meaning Jesus, went up into the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May we bow our heads in prayer. Merciful and loving God, in humility we seek your living presence among us, realizing that you desire to bless us with the great comfort and joy of your presence in the here and now, and certainly also for all eternity. In Christ we offer you thanks. Amen. As we begin our focus on the Beatitudes in this text of Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 3 through 12, we need to understand what the word beatitude means. In our Bible, it comes from the Latin words beati sunt, which simply mean blessed are. It comes to us from the Latin Vulgate Bible, in which the expression simply says blessed are, and then whatever is the rest of the beatitude. But we also see it in the version that we are most familiar with, and that is in the King James Version, where every one of the Beatitudes starts out, blessed are. Now, other versions aren't that consistent, but that's what we are most familiar with in the King James, and so that's why I'm going to work in that direction, just as I did when we had the series of messages about the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm. I used the King James because that's the text most of us are most familiar with in our memory. But as we look closer at the Aramaic language that Jesus actually spoke, and at the Hebrew language in which the text and all of their material was written in, we must understand that the Beatitudes actually begin with a very jubilant exclamation here. And the expression actually is, oh, the blessedness of. And in fact, we see this expression in the Old Testament, even at the very beginning of the Psalm. Psalm 1, verse 1. Oh, the blessedness of the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, what I find interesting is how there seems to be a negative connotation lifted up in these expressions. In this case, in Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the person who doesn't walk with the ungodly, whereas rather than blessed is the one who walks with the godly. You know, why is it the negative? Same way it is here in these Beatitudes, it always seems to initially lift up a negative connotation rather than a positive. But as we see Jesus beginning his Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes, what we must appreciate is that this is not some subtle, humble kind of expression here that Jesus is lifting up before the people. You know, when we read the Beatitudes, we almost do it in kind of a solemn way. Blessed are those that this, blessed are those that that. You know, we just about humble ourselves to our grave, you know, with the way we just, oh, blessed is this and that. You know, it's enough to put everybody to sleep. What we have to understand is that as Jesus stood up, and when you're thinking of mountains, don't think about the Rockies and Colorado. That's not it. We're talking about little slopy hills here, you know. But here Jesus is at the top, and the people are all assembled there listening to the Sermon on the Mount. Why there? Well, because his voice will be able to travel enough that they'll be able to hear, and they're close enough. They'll be able to see him to some extent, and I just can't imagine how these folks got along without hearing aids. Because I know I can't get around. I have enough trouble. You know, you get me in a room full of noise or traffic, I'm lost even with them in my ears, you know. So what did he say? You know, there better not be a TV on while Jesus is trying to talk, because I'll never hear a word he's saying, you know. So you know what I mean. You can appreciate what it was like for people trying to hear somebody from a distance. But what we have to understand is when Jesus starts out the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes, it is an expression of jubilation. It's like a chant trying to do a pep talk or trying to get the crowd roused up at a Chiefs game. You see? And the expression is, oh, the blessedness of. It's like somebody saying congratulations to the one who has, you know, fill in the blank. Or three cheers for the one who has, you know, fill in the blank with the rest of the Beatitude. But as we begin each Beatitude with, oh, the blessedness of, what we understood last week was that we first of all had to understand, well, what did blessed mean anyway? For those of you that were here, you know. Now, for those of you, plug, If you weren't here last Sunday, you can listen to last Sunday's message on the audio side by going to the BerryChristianChurch.com website. You can go on to look at the green bar at the top of the front page there of the website. Click on the word sermons, and it will take you right to last Sunday's service. And if you don't want to listen to all the music and everything, just speed up that little bar, and you can find your way to the sermon, and you can listen to the message. So you all decide what you want to do. But you can catch up, is what I'm trying to say. If you missed last week, and I know there's a few of you that did, and there's still a few that are still missing, but that's okay. Everybody will catch up. But we knew from last week that blessing here had nothing to do with material possessions and had everything to do with experiencing the joy and peace of being in a genuine living relationship with God, especially through Jesus Christ. And last week we lifted up the text of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, where Paul says, "Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in union with Christ Jesus, He has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world." And what we understood was that Paul wrote those eloquent words of praise to God's glory even as he was under house arrest in Rome while he was chained up to some smelly old Roman soldiers day in and day out, awaiting his trial and ultimately his death. You see. And this morning, we look at the first of the Beatitudes, the third verse. "Oh, the blessedness of the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, when you and I read this in our English King James Version of the Bible, we first of all are kind of taken back by the fact that it seems like it has such a negative connotation. And then we say, well, why would anybody want to be poor in spirit, or poor in any other way, for that matter, right? Yet in the Aramaic language in which Jesus spoke, the word poor is a derivative of a Hebrew word that would have made sense for the people. And essentially it means the destitute one who possesses no worldly means, yet who puts one's entire trust in God. Isn't it so true that when we feel like we have worldly means, we keep so focused on worldly things? But by golly, I tell you, when we get down to the nitty-gritty and we feel like we're at our wits' end, that's when we finally think, you know what? I really need to get myself right with God. When it comes to our spiritual welfare, however, the truth is, a lot of us like to believe that we are wealthy in spirit, that we've got salvation all buttoned up, like building up enough savings and investments to be comfortable in retirement. When it comes to salvation, we like to believe that the empire has already crossed his arms and said, "Safe," and we're okay, right? Because that makes us feel comfortable. Have we made our confession of faith? Check. Have we been baptized? Check. Do we attend services, at least somewhat regularly? Well, check. Do we keep up with our pledge? Check. Even the people of the Jewish heritage to whom Jesus was speaking there on this hilltop, they would have believed that they had salvation kind of sealed up. After all, good Jews, doing all things good Jewish ways. Because after all, they knew that anyone who was a non-Jew was called a Gentile. And by the word Gentile, the word simply means non-Jewish. In other words, the attitude and the mindset was, we've got it all right, we're correct, we're right with God. Anybody else who's not exactly like us, they're a Gentile. And so the idea, you know, is almost like, well, kind of second class, don't have it right. You know, there's even a lot of faith groups that unfortunately are still that way. If you're not exactly like us and don't believe exactly like we do, Oh, we feel so sorry for you. I've got it right, and I'm sorry you've got it wrong. Right? I'm sorry you're part of the heathen class. We remember Jesus telling the story, though, of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke chapter 18. The Pharisee declared in his prayer to God in the temple, "I thank you, God, that I am not greedy, dishonest, or an adulterer like everybody else. I thank you that I am not like that tax collector over there. I fast 2 days a week. I give 1/10 of my income." You see, surely the Pharisee felt that he was wealthy in spirit and that he checked off all the boxes. By contrast, however, verse 13 of Luke chapter 18, the tax collector in his prayer says, "God, have pity on me, a sinner." Surely, the tax collector felt that he was indeed poor in spirit. And Jesus in Luke chapter 18, verse 14 says, "I declare to you, the tax collector and not the Pharisee was in the right with God when he went home. For everyone who makes himself great will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be made great." Saul of Tarsus, whom we know as Paul, as he was renamed, he must have thought initially that he had salvation all buttoned up, for he was certain he knew the truth of God as he sought out and persecuted the Christians who were considered heretics, who had abandoned the true faith and certainly were in need of being put to death. Yet on the road to Damascus, Paul is thrown to the ground and blinded as the voice of Christ questioned in Acts chapter 9, verse 4, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" It is only in this most destitute state of blindness and helplessness that Paul realizes that in God's eyes he was poverty-stricken in spirit. And it was only while being poor in spirit that Paul was able to accept the aid of the spiritual guidance of Ananias from Damascus and the other people of faith who helped him on the path of salvation in Christ. You see, the humility that Paul experiences in this relationship with the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ is even evident in the text of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Paul writes, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I am the worst of them. But God was merciful to me in order that Christ Jesus might show his full patience in dealing with me, the worst of sinners, as an example for all those who would later believe in him and receive eternal life." See, the humility that Paul experienced is that same measure of humility that we too need to experience in order for our hearts and minds to be immersed in the great love and grace of God that is offered to us in eternal life. Not because of any works that we've accomplished, not because we have checked off all the boxes, but simply because of God's great love and our willingness to be humbled and to receive his mercy. So although the pronouncement Jesus makes in this first beatitude sounds very unusual to the Jewish audience to whom he was speaking with at the time, and though it may sound really unusual for people in our day, as we are always so geared up as to that which is important for ourselves and that which offers up pride and boastfulness, we recognize that there is benefit in being poor in spirit, or in other words, to be humbled in our spiritual relationship with God. It becomes clear that when we approach God's living presence in humility, We are blessed to experience what Jesus calls the kingdom of heaven. But this kingdom of heaven is not only the blessing of life eternal, but it is also the joy-filled experience that we can have here and now in our relationship to God. For Jesus declares in Luke chapter 17, verse 20, the kingdom of God does not come in such a way as to be seen. No one will say, look, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is also within you. It's within the very essence of your spiritual being. But how do we experience that profound joy and blessing? We must first humble ourselves, empty ourselves, realize that we are not right with God, realize that we need His abundant grace and mercy. And when we get to that point, that's when the Spirit of God can bless us in a most profound and wondrous way. I think Paul discovered that. And I know that you and I, we can too. So I think what we've learned this morning in this very first beatitude, which often doesn't make much sense to us as we read it in that King James Version, I think it can be rewritten and stated this way. Oh, the blessedness of the one who genuinely humbles oneself before God. For that person shall surely experience God's great peace and joy, not only in heaven, but in the here and now. Do you know Christ? If He's not your Lord and Savior, today is that day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 586. We'll stand and sing all stanzas of Open My Eyes That I May See.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth Thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for Thee, ready, my God, Thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears, that I may hear voices of truth Thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for Thee, ready, my God, Thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with Thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for Thee, ready, my God, Thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine.
We thank You for being in the Lord's house this morning. A reminder again to our deacons, elders, and committee chair people, we do have a very brief board meeting up in the upper room, classroom, immediately after the service. Should be a very brief meeting, but we would appreciate your attendance so we can go ahead and proceed with our business. And we wish you the best as you journey through the new week. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, for your Spirit's guidance upon us, for the privilege to experience your great joy in Christ, as we humble ourselves before your presence, we are indeed grateful. Bless us and guide us as we journey forward in the new week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. When we are called to part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in